Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, a distant part of Adar was surprised that he wasn't more bothered by Bark's attempts on Jorad's life. Perhaps it was because Bark was in such a bad place, or maybe it was the fact that Adar knew Bark didn't pose much of a threat to Jorad anyway. Or maybe I'm in such shock, he thought, from the events of the day that his confession hasn't settled in yet. Compared to Ter's, it is quite minor. Right now, Adar needed help more than he needed to punish the man for his actions. Bark and Kira were what he had. He shook his head. He would take allies wherever he could get them. But what good was a broken man and a woman saddled with a babe? Bark mumbled underneath his breath. As Adar knelt before him, he was just able to understand the words. "Gone, gone, gone," Bark said. "I can't believe I lost her too. What kind of a bleeding, Melia-cursed fool am I?" "I need your help," Adar said, shaking his shoulder. "We need to capture a Hunway ship. Come. We don't have much time. After that, I'll take you to Sol-Ray." And now, Chapter 17, Part 2. Bark snorted as he looked up. "Always wanting something more from me, aren't you? Bark, do this. Bark, do that. Your daughter's alive. When she clearly is not." His eyes were bloodshot, and his lips formed a sneer. "Can't you just give it a rest?" "They're gone, I tell you. Gone. I saw it with my own eyes. That's something a man shouldn't have to see, the death of his only child." "Sol-Ray lives," Adar said, "and I will take you to her if you help me." "You can drop the charade," Bark said, baring his teeth. "Why are you trying to motivate me with a lie? I know what kind of man you are. Heard it from near and arrow. They told me the truth about you. You're wanted for murder. I might not have believed it so readily if I hadn't witnessed Jorad killing my friends so easily. But I saw what I saw. Murderers cannot love. You do not care about her or anyone else." Adar stared into the man's eyes, wondering if he was wasting time. "Melia." Enough Hunway had come from the crash that all of the ships could be preparing to leave. Not to mention any other turncoats left in the city or any Hunway from the second ship he had seen go down. He scanned the sky, but it was clear. That did not mean much, though. There were a lot of smoke and clouds in the sky. "There is a difference between murder and killing that needs to be done," Adar said. These allegations were old news to him. In a twisted way, he had become accustomed to being called a murderer. After being accused of murdering Nellian, none of the other accusations ever bothered him much. It was Nir that had been making thinly veiled accusations right before everything had gone bad back at Neveron. "Jorad killed without hesitation," Bark said. "He has done it before. Garou came out of nowhere, and the next thing I knew, he was on the ground with a hole in his chest. I remember when he was a lad. He wasn't much older than my Sol-Ray." His voice choked up as he finished the sentence. "Came out of nowhere, huh?" Adar thought. "Jorad would not have shot Garou without provocation. I would bet all I have that Garou was charging with a sword. That's an important detail Arrow left out, and you're conveniently forgetting about it, too. Perhaps that's why Nir wasn't so intent to kill me as well." "Would you rather Jorad have waited for Garou to lop off his head?" Adar asked. "Come off it, man. I saw the sword in Garou's hand. It was Jorad or Garou. It's only fair Garou went down since he was the one that forced the issue. Can you honestly tell me you would have done differently in Jorad's position?" "You defend him?" Bark's voice sharpened. "After all he's done? My daughter's dead?" "Listen to yourself," Adar said. "You're so wrapped up in your anger, you're not thinking. Jorad did nothing to provoke." "Nothing?" Bark stumbled to his feet and almost toppled over. He reached out and used the back of the bench he had been seated on to steady himself. "Nothing?" "He almost slit Garou's throat the night Neveron was invaded." Adar snorted. "Jorad could have killed him, but he chose instead to spare his life." "Well, he's dead now, isn't he? Why not spare him twice?" "He would still be alive if he had not attacked. The choice was his." Bark straightened and his arm moved as if to go for the hilt of his sword. Adar did not do the same. Instead, he glowered at Bark, whose hand froze, hovering in the air above his belt. Adar had had enough, and could not afford to waste much more time on the man. This conversation wasn't getting them anywhere, and the Hunwe were escaping. "You need to decide," Adar said. "Do you want to see your daughter again? I can take you to her. If not, that's fine too. I do recommend you get out of the city. The fire is spreading. Give it a few more minutes and you won't recognize the street." Flame had covered the roof of the house while they'd been talking. Adar could feel the heat from where he stood, but it was nothing like what he'd just escaped back in the alleyway. A pleasant warmth covered compared to the terror of the alley. A glance over his shoulder showed that Kira was almost to them. Adar's eyes fell on her blaster, and he wondered if she would be willing to give it back to him. Probably not. She was too prickly a woman for him to want to get into that anyway, considering it would likely be good for only a few shots. It was better to not start the discussion. How ironic would it have been if he had forced an argument, only to have it die after one shot? Lars stared at the burning buildings on the other side of the street, his eyes big and his mouth open. "We have to get him somewhere safe," Adar thought. "The only question is where." The arches had been Adar's plan, but now he was at a loss about what to do for the babe. Should he abandon the idea of getting a ship and make for the other entrance to the arches? "No," he thought. "Who knows when I'll get another opportunity. Kira will just have to take Lars out of town until we can meet up with her." "Why would I team up with you?" Bark asked, his voice raw. "I saw Nir's poster. It was you. No wonder why Jorad was so quick to kill. He gets it from you." Adar growled at Bark's stubbornness. "Some men need killing. Maybe sometime we can have a conversation about the concept, but can you agree that every last Hunwe we bring down is a good thing?" Bark was red in the face, his lips working but nothing coming out. Why did Adar even bother? There was too little time left to spend it suffering a fool. This man had tried to kill Jorad, and while that seemed a small thing compared to Nelian's murderer, it was becoming harder for Adar to ignore, particularly as more details about what had happened came out. He inhaled and let it out slowly while he uncurled his hands that had formed into fists. Bark did not move. "And if I'm spinning a story about Sori still being alive," Adar said, "do you want to pass up on the chance I might be telling the truth?" Bark was glowering now. "Bleeding Melia, man. I'm the one chance you have at getting her back. It's either that, or you can just mourn her death. Either way, I am done here." "Leave her out of this," Bark said. "I know what I saw." "You do not." Adar snorted in disgust as he walked away. What a waste of time. "Forget about it," he said. "You want her dead so bad? Fine. She is dead." Adar walked in silence towards Kira, wishing he had left the man alone. When he glanced back, Bark had come down off the porch of the home and was staring up at the roof. He quivered at the sight of flames, his shoulders slumped. Bark stomped towards Adar while shaking his fist, a look of determination on his face that was a little surprising. Perhaps there was more metal in the man than Adar had thought. "If you're lying," Bark sputtered, "I will kill you. You hear me?" "Forget it then." Adar continued walking, heading towards Kira. "Go back to your tears. Find some beer and drink your sorrows away. You're right, Soray's dead. Gone, gone, gone. Forget about her." "Do you realize how mad you sound?" Bark asked, claiming she lived through a blazing inferno hotter than the nine hells. "Prattling on about how you need to capture a ship? How are you going to do that? The only one I see is in the middle of that blaze over there. You're losing it if you think that I'm going to follow you into that." "Come with me and find out," Adar said as he met up with Kira. She looked him up and down, a low whistle escaping her mouth. At least that's what he thought she was doing. It was soft enough that it was hard to hear. "I knew I had to keep watch for you," she said. "I saw you trying to sneak by." Lars had an open-toothed smile for Adar that tugged on his heart. "I should just get him out of here." Doubt about his plan crept into the back of his mind. Adar snorted. "If I meant to leave, why did I beckon to you? Don't make the mistake of thinking I came back for you. Somebody has to look after Lars. Any person with a straw of common sense would have been gone by now. Naturally, I knew you'd still be here." "I help you get a ship, and you will take me to my daughter?" Bark limped up behind Adar, his hand now at his side but clenched in a fist. "You willing to swear it?" "Not a doubt in my mind," Adar said. "I promise she's alive. That's all the oath you get. Come if you want, or not. I don't care." I was hoping to awaken something in the man, he thought, but I'll need to be careful not to push him too far, or he might try to make good on his threat. But angry and ready to fight is better than depressed and despondent. This I can use. Now hold on a minute, Kira said. The only person that's lacking sense is you. Most people run away from fires, not into them. Look at your hand. You got blisters all over it. Adar looked at Kira and frowned. My way out of the city was blocked by the wreckage. We'll have to use a gate instead. I need you to go out of the southern gate. 100 feet down the road, you'll find a boulder. Waist high. Hide in the woods there. I'll come find you in Lars. Kira bared her teeth. Your way out of the city is blocked? And now you think you can just go giving me orders? What makes you think I'll obey you? You have any better options, lady? He thought. You're the one that keeps telling me how dangerous Isaac is. Did you see the pack of Hunway that came out of the alley? Adar asked instead. They're headed towards the center of town. That's where we're going. It isn't safe for Lars to come along. If it were just you, I wouldn't even think twice. You never said anything about going, Bark began. You're going to hunt the Hunway? Kira asked, cutting Bark off. Back towards where Isaac is looking for you? Did you inhale too much smoke or was your head cooked? You're like a little boy running around with a burning branch. Adar cut Kira off with a glare and spoke over her. This town won't last much longer, he said. The fire's too hot and spreading fast. In case both of you have missed it, we are at war. Do you see any of our people flying with ships in the sky? No. There's a bunch of abandoned ships back there, and I'm going to keep the Hunway from taking them all. You can either argue or waste time, or you can help me out. Lars is too young to be in the middle of this. He made a sweeping motion that took in his blackened clothing. Aren't you glad you didn't come along last time? I want to do the right thing by you, Kira, but I can't let an opportunity to capture enemy technology slip away. Do you have a better suggestion? You're confounded right, I do, Kira spat. I'm going to find Lars' mother. After that, I'll meet you at the rock. If I'm not there, hide in the woods. She turned her back to Adar while he worked his jaw. The foolish woman was going to get the little boy killed. He almost chased after her, but he said a prayer instead. Aren't I turning into a religious man of late? He wondered. It wasn't a bad idea to find Lars' mother. Adar couldn't fault her for that. He was certain she would also bring as many of the others she could find. Kira knew the danger Isaac posed better than he did. If she could calm down, she should be able to take care of herself. Lars looked back and made a flapping motion with his hand. Adar smiled when he realized that the boy was waving goodbye. Adar suppressed a growl and forced a grin as he brought his hand up and made a similar motion. Lars let out a giggle, and Adar wanted nothing more than to follow them and take them out of the city. The boy will be okay, he tried to tell himself. Kira is a determined woman, and she's better armed than I am. If she comes across Isaac, she should be able to handle herself. He put his hands to his mouth and called out to her, "Don't forget to push the button in the front." Kira made a waving motion with the back of her hand. Well, she had heard him. There was nothing more he could do than that. A small voice in the back of his head said that if she had been Nellian with the baby Jorad, Adar would not have let them go off alone, or tried to take a ship while risking them. A man could only do what a man could do. The whole world has gone mad, Adar mumbled under his breath as he turned away. And I'm half crazed too, but I still look sane in comparison. When Bark snorted, Adar realized he had spoken aloud. He turned to Bark. I'm done with any more discussion. I could use a hand, but I'd rather not have help from a man who isn't determined to fight the Hunway until his dying breath. You come with me? I expect that and nothing less. You will get it, Bark said. I noticed you didn't make an oath, so let me make one of my own. If it turns out you're lying, I will kill you. Adar stared into Bark's eyes, trying to keep a hoot of derision bottled up. Everything he'd been doing had been about getting Bark to man up. This was a start. Let's go get the bleeding monsters that killed your wife, Adar said. Bark's eyes flared as Adar broke into a run. The gods help me, Adar thought. How easy it all comes back, knowing which buttons to press and the will to make use of it. It had been many years since Adar had motivated somebody to follow him to battle. He had forgotten the struggle that came with it. It was a torturous road, motivating men to fight and kill, making tough decisions like letting Kira go off on her own. For a brief moment, he felt like he had, back before he had fled Rarbon. Guilt for everything he had done, anger for all that had happened. He pushed it away and ran faster.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.